always wonderful to be able to come here, to gather together, to study as we have this opportunity to do so. So wonderful to be able to see everybody. Always great, and love this opportunity. Hopefully everybody's been encouraged as we've already gone throughout our worship so far. We've already sung hymns and prayed with one another, and that we are encouraged throughout the services. And now I want to ask that you open up your Bible and follow along as we go throughout our lesson. And start with me in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and look with me in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, which reads, "No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able." Beyond what you are able to bear. And so, as we look at this, let me start over there. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." As we go through life and the temptations that we face, when we go through life with all the different things that we have gone through and that we will continue to go through, what this verse here tells us is that God already knows that you can overcome that temptation. Whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you have gone through, those time and points that you tell yourself that you don't think, you don't know how you are going to come out on the other side. Here it's telling us that God has provided an escape. God has provided a way in which you can remain faithful. And everything that you go through, God is always there to provide a way. And so, as a title for this morning's lesson is, "What Can You Go Through?" And just understanding. And sometimes we need to understand God knows how strong you are. Even when you don't believe that you yourself may be strong enough, God knows how strong you are. God knows how much you can bear. God knows what you can get. He provides an escape. He can strengthen you. He knows what you're able to go through. So that's the first point I want to bring out. And it's first point will be similar to the lesson I presented a couple weeks ago as we look at God being on our side. God is always there for us. We go to Ephesians in chapter 6 and we look there and see that we are to put on the armor of God. And that goes along with the article I had put in the bulletin this morning as we point out that we should be willing to stand up for the truth, willing to fight this good fight, that we need to be continuously striving to do our part in the service of God. Because as it starts off there in verse 10 telling us that we are to be strong in the Lord, because verse 11 tells us that we are standing against the wiles of the devil, that we need to go forth and apply the armor of God, which picks up in verse 14. It says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Here, it's telling us, of course, that we will go through our trials, that we are going to fight in spiritual warfare, that we have to be willing to stand. And guess what? You're able to. Why? Because God has provided for us. God has given you everything to prepare yourself to go out into the world and whatever the world throws at you to be armored up. That you're going to have a helmet to protect your head, that you have covered your chest, and that you have shod your feet, that you've covered your waist, that you have a shield that you carry around to protect yourself. God is there to protect us. Because as we read through that, you go through that armor of God, it all points to Him. It points to what He has given to us as we open up our Bibles, as we study it. Because it's got the truth. It's got righteousness, the gospel of peace, our faith. Again, all these things come from the Word of God, which is the sword. The Bible, our sword. The thing in which we should be carrying with us daily to protect ourselves, to be ready to defend ourselves, ready to fight that good fight. Everything we go through, God has already provided for us. He's already taken care of us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, Romans chapter 8, and in verse 31, if you turn along with me there, it brings out here, it says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And this is a lesson that I had presented a couple weeks back. It's just that point of, if God is on our side, then who can be against us? And in that lesson, we went forth and we looked in at the God who created this world. We looked at the God who caused the plagues to come upon Egypt. That is the God that is on our side. That God created the armor in which you are supposed to be wearing. The armor that we're supposed to be putting on to go out into the world. He created that armor. It's not some armor that you're trying to find. You know, as we go shopping today, we find certain things that you want. You're looking for a good price, but you kind of want a good quality, but sometimes you don't get the best quality because you have to stay within your price range. Now, God's created the best thing we could have. You get the best of the best as long as we take it from God. As long as we're studying His Word and being diligent and searching the Scriptures, He will make sure we have all that we need. He will strengthen us. As we look at Philippians 4 and in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ whom strengthened me. And Paul bringing out that he can learn to be content in any situation, that he can get through it and live faithful to God. Whether he is hungry or thirsty, whether he is shipwrecked or if he is in prison, he knows that he can still overcome temptation. He continued to be faithful to our God. Why? Through Christ. Through our Lord and Savior. Through his faith that he has in our God. He's able to get through all that. Because it comes back to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. That God will provide an escape for any of the situations. That God will make sure that you are able to get through. I believe that's a big statement. And so, in my next point, bringing out the question, what can you overcome? What can you get through? What could you get through? Because in any of the situations that we study about, Old Testament or New Testament, as we just looked and pointed to the Apostle Paul, that's a good example for us. Which one of us could go through what the Apostle Paul went through? Which one of you could sit here and say, I could remain faithful as people were throwing stones at me? And not deny God, not blaspheme God, not ever gave in. I've continued faithful to God. As I was starving and shipwrecked and naked and had nowhere to lay my head down, I continue to have faith in God. I still want to have stole. I still want to have lied. I still want to have blasphemed God just to get my head inside the door so that they would give me some food. Which one of us could go through what Paul went through and remain faithful? Guess what? God knew Paul could do. God knew how much he could allow to come upon the Apostle Paul. He knew how strong his faith was, how much he was willing to endure, how much he could take before he broke. God knew. What about being Noah? In Genesis chapter 6, as we look and consider the days of the flood, sit back and think that you're preparing this ark, yes, to save yourself and your family, your sons and their wives and your wife, but knowing that everybody else in the world is going to die. Knowing that everybody else, I mean, we're told Noah preached during his days as he continued to build this ark, as the days continued to get closer. And as, of course, you know, two of every unclean animals, seven of every clean animal, as they got on there. But still, what would have to be going through your mind? Everybody else you know in your entire life. It's not that we know somebody who died this past week, or you know somebody who passed away, or a few people who've passed away in this past year. This is every single person you know, besides seven other people, is going to die. Did die. The whole world flooded and destroyed, not knowing where the ark is going to land. And so you don't know what kind of land you're going to be at when all, everything comes to an end. I'd have to say there's a lot of things that could go through the mind, and temptation and giving in, and could we be the ones that God called upon to do this? Could we be faithful in all these things, and after it was over, do we have a strong enough faith to face a giant, a champion? 1 Samuel 17. You read along with me in verse 4. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 4. Here it says, "And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, had a bronze helmet on his head, and was armed with a coat of mail, and a weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had a bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel, and cried to them, 'Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you, the servants of Saul, choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me.' No one else is willing to go up against this giant, against Goliath." Again, it wasn't that David had just stumbled up in other situations where it was just a moment of a situation. You had to act out of it because he was protecting his flock. He is with his sheep, and a lion comes out, and you didn't know what was about to come to you, or a bear. This is, you know what's on the other side, right? There is a giant over there who is protected and well-trained in fighting. He is a champion. He has done this more than once, and he has a reputation. So much that he scares every other man in Israel that is in the army of Israel, the king himself. No one is willing to stand up and fight. What kind of faith do we have? Could God put us in that situation? That we have to consider a physical warfare in such a situation, a spiritual battle. Maybe something comes up that we have to stand off against some big known name that is teaching against the Word of God. You have to be willing to debate them. You have to be willing to stand your ground, whether it's public or one-on-one, whatever situation. Are we prepared? Understanding that if we're put in such a situation, God knows that you can overcome, that you can remain faithful to it, that you don't have to give in to all that situation. And it's not always going to be some big known person like that. It's going to be family, friends that are going to come at us and try to tell us to give in, to stop worshiping God the way we worship, to be accepting to all other ways of worshiping, to do it the way they do it, to accept sin. But in all situations, if we put our faith in God, there's a way to escape any temptation. There's a way to be victorious in our faith to God in anything that we go through. As you look to Daniel, Daniel chapter 3, as we look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they are, of course, being trialed and tested with their faith, whether or not they are going to give in into the king's orders. And as they continuously make the king angry for not giving in, you pick up here in verse 19, in Daniel 3 and verse 19, it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. An expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of Balaam, who were his army, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace." As this continues to build up, you know, first they're grabbed, they're captured, they're continuously told to do this, and they continuously not. He gets more furious, and he gets these big men, these mighty men, to take them, to bring them up, and now they're telling, turn the furnace, you know, they're seeing everything take place, continuously growing, the situation getting worse and worse. And yet, even as they're approaching the fire, it gets so hot, it kills the men that are taking it. They do not give in, they remain faithful. Again, how far could we go if we were in the same situation? How far could we go? Would we say, yeah, you know, I'd be in my home still worshiping God, but when they knock on my door, would you still be worshiping God? Yeah, I would, you know, if they threw me in prison, I had to serve the time in there or pay my fines or whatever, I could still remain faithful. What if you were put even further here to that point of death? Again, just a little further into Daniel chapter 6, when you look at Daniel himself and the situation he was put in, and in verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew," again, wasn't a surprise, it wasn't some big, "Oh, I didn't know that he had changed the law." Daniel knew that the writings was signed. He went home in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and as was his custom since early days. He knew that this could get in trouble. He knew that a new decree was signed, and yet he continued faithfully anyways. This is what he did, accustomed since his early days. He went home, he prayed 3 times a day. He prayed. He did not give in. Even as he's brought in front of the king, he did not give in. Even as he's threatened to be thrown into a lion's den, he did not give in. Even as he's in the lion's den. And that may be the moment that some people broke. Just as you're throwing, "No, please, sorry, save me, I'll curse God." Daniel did not give in. And understand again, God knows what we can overcome. God knew how strong Daniel's faith was, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's faith was, David's faith was. David went through a few other things. There's plenty of opportunity for David to commit more sin than what we point out to in Bathsheba and the adultery there. But he could have killed Saul, could have fought back against Saul with his own army. But yet, again, we're put in these situations. We said, man, how does someone come out on the other side? I often try to picture myself with Joseph, and as his brothers are there, knelt down before him. I got 2 older brothers, a younger sister, but mainly focused on my older brothers. I can sit there and imagine some of the things they've done to me, and if I had that power when I was younger, and you know, what decisions would you have made? Would you have been there, God put me in this situation so I could get payback? Or God put me in this situation because, you know, to take care of the land, everybody in it, to bring my family here, to provide for them. You know, the big one that gets me is when I look at Job. When I look at the story of Job and you turn along there, knowing, God knowing how much Job could go through and remain faithful to overcome this trial that's set for him. As Satan was going back and forth from heaven to earth, and God speaks out and says, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him. Righteous man." And Satan takes the challenge. Satan says, "Oh, you've made a hedge around him. Just look how good he's got." And so we read here in verse 13, it says, "Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their older brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you.'" God knew how much Job could take, how much he could take all at once. That as the situation grew, again, not having time to just process what the first servant came and told him, here comes the second servant, and trying to process what the second servant has told him and not even able to process the first one, here comes the third one. And it all comes and hits him at once, and yet, Job was able to remain faithful. Not to curse God or sin with his mouth at once during all this. And so Satan is able to go a little bit farther in chapter 2. And in verse 7 it says, "So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head." And again, Job still does not sin. And you read in verse 9, it says, "Then his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die.'" And then we know, if you study the rest of the book of Job, that his friends get caught up in basically some same attitude of, "Well, you surely sinned." They continue to put the blame on Job. God knows what we can handle. God did not put more on Job than he could handle. Not saying it wasn't tough. Not saying it was hard. But he was able to remain faithful in all these things, because he continued to fear God. He continued to trust God. He continued in the faith that he had. So in any situation that we go through, God knows how much you can handle. Understand, we can sit back and you think about death of loved ones. You can sit back and think about sickness that we go through, and hardship, and finances, and jobs. Sometimes it seems to overwhelm us. But it's a common temptation to man. Going back to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. It's not new. There's nothing new under the sun. When it comes to sin, there's nothing. When it comes to obedience, there's nothing. And so we can't overcome temptation. We can remain faithful to God as long as we continue to go to Him. As long as we continue to go to Him to help us carry our shield, carry our sword, to wear our armor, to gain strength through Christ, we can remain faithful to the Lord. So I want to extend the Lord's invitation this morning to any who desire to obey the gospel and put on that armor of God. To any who are here and who have yet to obey the gospel, we want to encourage you. We want to assist you. Those who join the military have to go forth and, you know, say their vow, swear. We want to encourage you to come forward and confess your faith that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To make that commitment and be baptized, to wash away your sins, coming up a soldier of Christ. If you're here and you have obeyed the gospel, you need prayers of congregation. You need the strength of your brethren to help you and assist you. We're more than happy to do that also. If there's anything we can do for you, let it be known as we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord in